lives. We didn't know for certain. So, in order to change ourselves, we had to give up motherhood and the normal way of achieving it. That doesn't mean we can't love our offspring the same way you do, or that we don't want to see them grow and prosper. And that definitely doesn't mean we have dicks growing between our legs.
Christy glowered at her.
I have an idea. How would you like to help us in another way? It could be beneficial to you.
I know. You want me to carry the thing you're going to manufacture. No, thank you.
It would be half his.
It's the other half that turns my stomach. Like I said, no thank you.
There could be rewards.
Oh, well.
You wouldn't have to go back to the mines. You could avoid that horrible death. And if you're cooperative, there may be another benefit that you haven't even considered.
Like what?
Well, you're a remarkable female specimen. Both Jan and I agree on that. You could join us. Become the first sister from Deathlands.
You'd adopt me?
Not exactly. You'd take a dose of the same virus we did. You'd undergo the same physiological changes. You would come out the other side, a force to be reckoned with. No man could ever stand up against you. You'd wear the battle suit and wield its full awesome power. We sisters are more than you could ever imagine, and you could be too.
More than what? And all I have to do is bear... How many of your brats? 4? 8? How about 12? Do you kill the male babies before or after they're born?
You don't understand what we're doing, where we're headed. Sacrifices have to be made. You can't possibly appreciate that until you walk in our shoes, until you become one of us.
Just being in the same room with you makes me want to puke. You don't deserve the joy of offspring. You deserve to be made extinct.
Such grandiose talk for a barbarian.
Jan, have the guards take her to one of the holding cells. Let her think about it for a while.
Right.
The doctor grabbed Christy by the arm. She twisted and fought, but she couldn't break Jan's iron grip unless she called on Gaia. And at that moment, she wasn't prepared to do so. There was no point. As Christy was dragged to the door, Greta picked up a slim, stoppered vial of pearly fluid and waggled it at her.
Thanks again for the help. There's enough Shadow Man here to make us an army.
Shortly after the gyro took off from Ground Zero, there was another confrontation between the slaves and their battle-suited keepers.
We want water! We want water!
Some slaves at the back of the crowd hurled their pickaxes at the troopers standing watch on the water tank. The flying axes clanged harmlessly off the 15-by-15-foot metal cylinder and the stout steel framework that raised its bottom 4 feet above the glass.
You know the fucking drill. No war, no water.
Get up!
Bad fucking idea. This time, the troopers opened fire on the troublemakers without hesitation. It wasn't a wholesale slaughter, because the workers were needed to mine ore. The guards performed selective mutilations, targeting those who were already showing radiation effects. Lasers whistled, their green beams lacing through the charging mob from three sides. Slaves dropped here and there. The stench of burned meat drifted over the compound. Those who hadn't been singled out scattered, abandoning the wounded man flopping about on the glass. Some waved their blackened arm stumps. Others, more grievously subdivided, could only lay there and moan. None of those who'd been hit were dead. None would die soon. All faced horrible suffering.
The least you could do is finish them off.
Fuck you.
That troublesome slave got a green beam through the middle of his stomach. It cauterized his bowels and severed his spinal cord, and passed on to drop the man standing behind him, and the man standing behind him. It would have kept on dropping slaves, but the others jumped aside. Skirmish over, status quo intact.
That ought to do it!
The slaves meekly picked up their axes and started funneling back into the mines. Their first cup of water was hours of toil away. As the companions fell into line with the others, Ryan and J.B. gathered up Gabhart and brought him along. The colonel was still unconscious. After they'd selected a pair of sledges to use, J.B. and Ryan carefully laid him in one of them.
Mildred, what can we do? Gabhart isn't coming around, and we need what's in his head or we're all going to die just like him.
I don't know what to tell you, Ryan.
You're a doctor. We need to wake him up. Give us some options.
While Mildred and Ryan talked, The others eased the two sledges down the entrance's slope by their ropes. The other two began to work their way towards them.
Hard to do that.
Why's that?
I took a solemn oath not to injure my patients. Pain can be used to rouse people from this kind of state, but as a physician, I'm sworn not to inflict it unnecessarily. I know that the Colonel's better off unconscious when his body gives out.
There are more people to think about here than him. People who aren't sick yet. Dozens of them. Some of whom are your friends. Hell, one of them is you.
I know that.
Triage, my dear Mildred. This calls for triage. A sound medical practice since the days of Hippocrates. Treat those with the best chance to survive. Leave the others to the grace of God.
Waking him isn't going to kill him. And if it does, by your own reasoning, it'd be for the best. Mildred, we can't wait. Christy can't wait. We need the information now.
Trouble is, it isn't just triage. I'm going to have to keep hurting him to keep him awake. It's more like torture. And I don't like that.
Just tell us what to do and we'll do it.
No. I know what to do. I know when to stop. I have to be the one to do it.
When they reached the fork in the tunnel, the pair of guards stationed there split up the comrades. This time, Mildred, Dean, and Ryan took Gebhard into the left-hand passage, and J.B., Jack, and Doc took the right. When Ryan's group reached the end of their tunnel, they parked their cart out of the way against the wall.
Let's get him out on the ground.
The physician and Ryan lifted the limp man out of the box and stretched him out on the tunnel floor. The other miners pushing sledges into the tunnel paid them no mind. Mildred knelt beside him and took his pulse.
It's fast and faint. His breathing's very shallow. We'd better get on with this.
She put the ball of her thumb against his left eyelid and pressed down hard on the hidden eyeball. Gebhardt's legs jerked and his arms thrashed. His head came up from the floor, his mouth open.
God forgive me.
The colonel didn't have the strength to keep his head up. Dean caught the back of it as it dropped, keeping it from hitting the floor. Mildred leaned right into Gebhardt's face.
Colonel, you've got to stay awake. You've got to answer Ryan's questions.
The dying man opened his eyes. There was something wrong with him. They seemed to focus on the ether. It wasn't clear if he could still see.
Ryan?
The one-eyed man took his hand.
I'm here, Colonel. We need to know more about the battle suits. It's vital.
Okay.
Is it true that the EM shields only deflect things that are made of metal?
No. They'll deflect laser beams coming at the speed of light.
We need a weak point. You gotta give us something to attack.
Power supply. The suits use the same nuke fuel as the WAGs. Without fuel, there's no EM pulse. No combat arrays, nothing. Without the juice, the battle suit's just light armor. It'll stop conventional bullets, but they will dent it. Unenergized, it won't deflect laser pulses either. The fuel's highly concentrated and radioactive. It has to be shielded from the wearer's body.
How's the fuel stored?
Each suit has a fuel reservoir.
Where's that?
Gebhardt's eyelids fluttered shut, and his face went slack. Blood trickled out of the corner of his mouth and down his jawline to his ear.
Shit.
Mildred gouged him again, pressing her thumb into his eye socket. Again, the colonel came violently awake.
You've got to try to stay with us. Try to concentrate.
Mildred's face was starting to look drained in the eerie greenish light.
Where's the fuel reservoir?
In the suit's crotch. Fuel and shielding are heavy. For balance, they need to be as low to the ground as possible.
What's the reservoir made of?
It's a flat, hourglass-shaped bladder, sandwiched between sections of armor. The bladder itself is very flexible. It has to be. Nuke power's transferred through the crystalline structure. It has its own circulatory system.
How do we drain the damn thing? Colonel? Damn, he's out again. Mildred?
Look, Ryan, his breathing's getting worse. His lungs are starting to fill with blood.
Do it!
Jesus, Ryan.
Mildred?
Yeah. Hold on.
She awakened the man a third time.
Oh, please! Just let me die.
How the hell do we drain the goddamn reservoirs?
Once the suits are fueled, They can't be touched with energy or lead or even metallic hand weapons. There's a nipple for draining the used-up fuel and pumping in fresh.